And that day will come when grace will end on that last day, and it'll be too late for those who have rejected the Lord. But praise God that we still live in the time of grace and have the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus' love. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, dear friends in Christ, we go to the gospel this morning, and we go to those words specifically of Philip when Nathanael was really questioning the message that he brought to him and the excitement that Philip had. And Philip simply says to Nathanael after he questions this message, "Come and see." And so what an invitation for all of us to come and see. What an invitation to express to those around us, "Come and see." The Lord is full of surprises. If you ever like to be surprised, think about some of those special events in your lives. For the married ladies in this room, those of you even as widows now who were married, you know the surprise, the excitement of that day when your husband proposed to you. And I bet you can still remember virtually every detail of that day. Or as grandparents, when your kids come to you, and LJ and Chelsea, the latest for us, and they announce to us, "Guess what? What? We're going to have a baby." And the excitement, the surprise as grandparents when we hear that wonderful news, that blessing from God. But then there's other times that surprises can be quite unpleasant, right? And one that I remember vividly is connected with LJ again. And it was his confirmation reception at our home, early May. And we come home, beautiful sunshiny day, and it's about 70 degrees. We have everything set up outside for the reception. And it just looked like it was going to be an awesome day. And then the clouds start coming in. And then the wind starts coming up, and then it starts to mist, and within a couple hours, it was a horizontal snowstorm. That was a surprise, but that wasn't a very pleasant surprise. We were freezing to death. We had to run in the house and escape the storm. But all surprises, by definition, are unexpected, but not all surprises are received in the same way. If you follow football, today a lot of NFL games are going to be played. We already know what happened yesterday in college. And some are going to be celebrating surprises today, and others are going to be lamenting, depending who wins and loses the games. And surprises go like that. Same circumstances, and yet some approach and see it in a whole different way. Celebration and lamenting. And that's kind of the dynamic that we see with the surprise that comes before Philip and Nathanael this morning. Come and see. And the wonderful surprise is through his only son, God revealed his greatest surprise for a world in darkness. He gave to the world his precious son, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, who has come into the world to dispel the darkness. What a surprise. What an awesome blessing from God. And in this account, in the gospel message this morning, we see two totally different reactions to the very same event. And so Jesus finds Philip. We find in verse 43 of the gospel reading this morning. He finds Philip and says to Philip, "Follow me." And Philip is greatly excited. In fact, so much so that the first thing that we hear that he does is he goes to Nathanael. And he can't wait to share with Nathanael the amazing news that has just come to him in person, in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so Philip finds Nathanael, and he says to Nathanael, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also in the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now imagine the centuries that the church had been waiting for the Messiah to come. And now Philip hears, and not only hears, he's in the presence of Jesus, and he is just filled with joy and excitement. This is incredible. We're right here now, and this has been fulfilled. Jesus has come. Nathanael, what a wonderful good news message that I have to share with you. And from Philip's perspective, this was an invaluable treasure. It was priceless to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. And so he had a very joyful heart. But you see, Philip saw Jesus through the eyes of faith. And so he goes to Nathanael with this amazing news. And yet we see quite a different reaction to the very same event. I wonder what Nathanael's voice sounds like when he says this. Kind of probably one of disgust. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Boy, there's a joyful response, isn't there? Philip's all excited, and Nathanael, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Quite a different response to the very same surprise. One of disbelief and one of unbelief, perhaps, from Nathanael's perspective. You know, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Nazareth being in Galilee, Galilee being up north of Jerusalem. And, you know, Nathanael's question really shouldn't catch people by surprise if you lived in the culture of that day. Because the further north you went from Jerusalem, and certainly up in the area of Nazareth, probably half of the population were heathen. They were Gentiles. They didn't believe in the God of the Jews, the one true Almighty God that you and I are blessed to know and worship. But they worshiped other gods. And so it was a land of a very mixed population of the church in the mix of many unbelievers. And the other thing was, it's too far from Jerusalem. I mean, Jerusalem is where the temple is. Jerusalem is where the great rabbis are. Jerusalem is the place of action. This is where things happen by God's design most of the time, by the way. And then maybe Nathanael was thinking, you know, I know the Old Testament. I know the Bible well, because that's all they had was the Old Testament at that time. And nowhere in God's word do I hear Nazareth mentioned. And it's true. You cannot find the community of Nazareth in the Old Testament. It's not in any of the prophecies. And so it shouldn't surprise us that Nathanael would look at this message in this way. But you know what's really awesome with Philip? He doesn't argue the point. He doesn't try to lay out a dissertation of Nathanael, this is why you should believe. He simply says to Nathanael in response to his seemingly rejection, Nathanael, just come and see. Just come and see. God does surprise us. God is a God of great surprises. We often look for power and wisdom in all the wrong places, don't we? Maybe we try to find it in ourselves. Maybe we try to find it in others. And it always concerns me in an election year like this one we are currently in, how many people, it seems, puts their hope in other human beings. Thinking that, boy, if we get these people into office, you know, it's just going to be a much better world. Have to be careful with that. Because as human beings, we consistently fail people. But God is consistently true and absolutely trustworthy. And so where do we really put our trust? And we are called by God to fix our eyes on Jesus, right? That's where our focus should be. And yes, God does provide men and women in leadership roles and godly men and women who acknowledge him and who are given wisdom from God. But even they would acknowledge that their power, their wisdom, their position is a blessing of God. We are called to fix our eyes on Jesus. That's what Philip is saying. Nathanael, I know you're thinking all of this stuff, and I know you don't believe a word I'm saying right now, but just come and see. Come and see. The one who is the power, the one who is the wisdom, the one who is righteousness, the one who truly is holy. To the surprised and the perplexed, to the cautious and the guarded, to those in disbelief or doubt and seeking to fellowship with him, Jesus reaches out to us to give us that desire. In fact, it's Jesus who said, "Come and you will see," prior to this text. Remember, John the Baptist was saying, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And then John and Andrew started following Jesus, whom John pointed out, and they wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Well, come and you will see." So the very same words basically out of Jesus' mouth. And basically what Jesus is saying is God is full of surprises. And boy, he sure was in the way he approached the world, right? Not the way you generally see an influential king come into the world in the first place. But then Jesus, you would think, would be in Jerusalem. He would be there at the heart of the faith of that day. But he's up north in Galilee. And who is he first calling to be apostles? They're Galileans. What a surprise in the way that God chooses to work in his church then, and nothing has really changed today. But the reality is it's through his only son that God continues to reveal his greatest surprise for a world in darkness. And so here's the question for you and me today. Who are the Galileans, quote unquote, of our day? In other words, who are those people maybe in your neighborhoods, maybe people that you rub shoulders with at work or in different organizations that you really look upon as a Galilean? In other words, somebody that's very different than you. They think differently from you. They look differently from you. They approach life differently than you do. And are you hesitant to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ? Wonder if you come across someone wearing a hijab, you know, the Muslim women's covering over their head. You know, I think of the neighborhood Lindy and I live in. At one time, we had a gay couple next door to us to the west. Across the street, we still have a Jewish woman. Next door to us on the east side of our house for a while, we had a Muslim woman. I mean, we live in a very diverse culture. We don't have to travel miles to find people that think and look differently than we do. They're right in our midst. But the question is, do we look upon them as Nathanael? Well, what good can come out of that household? I'm going to stay away from there. Or is it Philip, the invitation? You know, I don't understand fully where you're coming from, but you just got to come and see. You got to come and see this Jesus whom I know and love because he first loved me. Come and see. Boy, we can easily, though, become like Nathanael, can't we? And think about the opportunities missed when we failed to reach out to others. And I think in our whole racial dispute again, and not that racism ever went away, but it's certainly at the forefront of attention again, who alone can heal this? But it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And so we need to go to our black brothers and sisters in Christ and encourage them in the faith, but we need to go to people of other skin colors than ours and share with them. You know, in light of what we're seeing today, I want you to know I love you as a fellow human being. I want you to know Jesus too. Have you heard about Jesus? That's what's going to change the hatred and the division that we see. And it's not complicated. It's simply Philip's message. It's Jesus' message. Come and see. Come and see that God is merciful. That He is a God of mercy. That He gives the gift of the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, He changes hearts. He changed mine. And He can change yours as well. Come and see. And so today, on this LWML Sunday, and through this wonderful gospel message, we are re-encouraged and redirected again to get the best message out there. And boy, Larry, I love Oreo cookies. And you didn't give me one. Okay. But, you know, that's a nice surprise. But it's nothing like the surprise of God's mercy. And through that mercy, the blessings of everlasting life. And isn't it wonderful that God makes it clear you cannot read Scripture and doubt this reality as far as what God reveals. He desires that every person would be saved. He desires that every person of, doesn't matter race, culture, doesn't matter what status we are in society. The Lord says, I want you all to come. I want you all to be part of my family. And when you think about that, the church really is just a fellowship of Galileans. It should be. It should be evident that all of these boundaries the sinful world builds, that we even in our sinful condition build, all of those should be collapsed. And we should see among God's people that love among us, even if we think and look differently. Because we are united in one thing. We have been called out of darkness into the light of Jesus Christ. We were all once dead spiritually. But through the grace of God, we now are alive. And we can openly confess Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful when you run into a complete stranger that is a fellow brother or sister in Christ? You've ever noticed that? You can just sense it quickly. And suddenly all the barriers break down. It's like you're not even with a stranger, even though maybe you've never met this person before. But once you have that unity in Christ, it's like, wow, we're family. This is awesome. The family of Galileans, if you will, because God reaches out to the most unlikely. To everyone. Once strangers, but now by the grace of God, we are family. And that's something to celebrate. No ethnic, no cultural, no racial, no geographical boundaries. You don't have boundaries in family. The door is open. Come on in. We're family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, on this LWML Sunday, we rejoice in Jesus' invitation through Philip, through his church, the one that we can participate in as well. Come and see. Come and see once again what God has graciously done in our lives. And you know, when we think of that conversation, I can just hear Nathaniel saying, "Hey, Philip, can anything good really come out of Nazareth in Galilee?" Yes, indeed, Nathaniel, Jesus, God's greatest gift to us. He has surprisingly come out of lowly Galilee for us and for our salvation. Good things do come from Galilee, Nathaniel. "Hey, Philip, can God work out his salvation in lowly places and even among strangers today?" Yes, indeed, Nathaniel. Come and see. Amen. And now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the peace that God has established among us, be with us and keep our hearts always focused upon Jesus. But in focusing upon Jesus, to also focus upon those who are separated from him, that we may simply invite them too to come and see. In your name, Jesus, amen.